You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I'm pleased you'll be joining us for this particular episode in which we tackle one of the strongest and most prevalent problems in society today. And by that, I refer to the pornography epidemic. And to do so, I've invited special guest Steve Seiler, who is Executive Director for Music for the Soul, based out of Nashville, Tennessee, to join us. Steve, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, when you think about problems and issues facing the family today that are destroying marriages, challenging raising of children, wrecking homes, changing the way even our children think and the environment they grow up in. Obviously, pornography has risen to that level, but it's not getting the conversation it ought to, and your group is trying to change that. Could you talk about this issue as you've seen it and its importance?
Well, I think you just summarized it beautifully, Brian. The fact of the matter is, this is the most serious issue that the country is not talking about. We're in an election year, and the fact that not only does this not move the needle, it's not even one of the issues that people are asked, you know, how do you feel about it? You know, when you give people a list of the issues we should be most concerned about, you get the economy and you get, you know, the war in Afghanistan, et cetera. But nobody even mentions this, and that's really frightening, that we could be so unaware of what is eating us alive from the inside out. And all the things that you listed are indeed happening with this issue. So it's very, very disturbing.
Has technology played a role in the availability, accessibility, and prevalence of this?
Well, certainly. I mean, when I was a kid, going back to the 60s, you would have had to skulk into a store in the seedy part of town and slip behind a curtain to find the kind of stuff now that you can pull up on any phone, on any iPad. I often, when I'm talking with Christian parents, they mean well when they buy these kids their devices. You know, everybody wants to have the latest, greatest gadget, but I really advise people that they should be buying their kids those old cell phones that look like you're holding a shoe, you know, that don't do anything and can't get anybody, because obviously these devices are pornography delivery mechanisms, and the pornography industry knows that, and they have all kinds of tricks to get our kids to land on these websites. And what most people don't understand is that the brain science now has been proven. And seeing pornography at a young age, let me explain. It was explained to me this way by a therapist. The filters that help kids block out images do not formulate till they're 14 years old. Hmm. They're not completed until they're 14 years old. So anything a child sees before the age of 14, they don't have any ability to keep it out of their mind. And when you hear now that the average age of exposure to pornography for the first time is 11, one study says 11, another says 8, even if we go with the older version, 11, that's still a long way shy of 14. And what we're seeing is that pornography actually changes the chemical makeup in the brain. It causes a chemical reaction similar to crack cocaine. The disturbing thing is that unlike a controlled substance, that once you stop taking it, eventually it will go out of your system. Pornography, once on the mental hard drive, you are addicted literally to the memories and chemicals in your own brain. So this is why it's so important for us to protect our children from these images. Of course, it's equally as important to protect ourselves as adults, but certainly our kids, who really have no say in the kind of culture they grow up in, we owe it to them as Christian parents to be on the watch for this.
And of course, we know as Christians that the world and the flesh and the devil would want nothing more than to continue to destroy the witness of the church using this this tool of destruction. But we have weapons at our own disposal, thanks to God. And you also talk about heart change. Could you talk about what you're proposing to do in terms of the conversation?
Yeah, we believe that it's time for there to be a national conversation on this issue, and we understand all the reasons why that sounds scary and difficult. But like you just said, the enemy is a roaring lion seeking to devour and has no such qualms. The pornography industry is not embarrassed to talk about pornography. They are coming after us 24/7, 365, with all guns blazing. And for our response to be denial or to be silence or, you know, to just hope that it won't visit our house, that's just not going to get it done in this day and age. And I think what's interesting to me is this idea of heart change, because I'm convinced I am never going to argue anybody out of wanting to look at pornography. I mean, let's face it, men are wired visually, and, you know, guys like to look at women. That's just true. So me getting into an argument with a guy telling him that he shouldn't want to do that is not going to be a very fruitful discussion. But if I start to talk about his family, if I start to talk about how he feels about his wife and his mother and his sister and his own children, his daughter, his son, and I start to ask him how he would feel if his own family were to show up in one of the films that he was watching or in a magazine or to be sexually trafficked, how he would feel about that, it becomes a different discussion, because now I'm going to a heart place. And I believe that God can change our hearts and awaken our hearts and transform our hearts. You know, we're supposed to walk as children of the light. And I think on this issue, we're just not doing that. And I think what's needed is a big old flick of the light switch. And we feel like the phrase, somebody's daughter, she's somebody's daughter, is a way to talk about this issue that removes a lot of the discomfort. We're not asking people to use the word pornography in a crowded restaurant and have a debate. You know, we understand that that's difficult. But by the same token, if somebody tries to make this a First Amendment issue, you know, you don't even have to go there. We're not talking about legislating this away, because we can't pass enough law to make pornography go away. But if we change hearts, and then we start to see a decrease in demand because hearts have been changed, then maybe we can see a change in the culture, and that's what we're advocating for.
That's fantastic. Are there any resources out there through your group that people could check into?
Well, there are a lot of tremendous resources out there. And certainly we haven't done all of them. We've done simply the Somebody's Daughter DVD and the Somebody's Daughter CD, and they come as a package set. And it's a very grace-filled project. There are no triggers in it. There's no nudity or anything like that. It is really storytelling. We hear from four men and one wife, all Christians, all people who had worked in the ministry, sharing their story, how pornography came into their lives and how they triumphed over it. And we have four music videos on the DVD and eight vignettes. And then on the CD, we have several. Prayer. We have poetry. We have more testimonies and several additional songs. And all of it is basically tracking with the idea of you're trapped in the problem. Now we need to be convicted in our hearts, confess the sin, and work toward freedom in Christ. And the whole project is angled like that. So it's a DVD, a CD, and we also have a discussion guide, which makes it easy for churches to use in groups, whether marriage groups or men's groups or on retreats or, you know, Sunday school, all different sorts of ways to apply the material.
Excellent. And what is that website?
It's simply somebodysdaughter.org. There's no apostrophe, of course. Somebodysdaughter.org.
I'd encourage all people listening to this to check out those resources, Steve. I want to commend your efforts. You know, I hear a story from World War II where there was a British officer who was very pessimistic about chances of victory in war, and then he heard Churchill speak, and he said, I'm not afraid of the German tanks. We're going to win. And in hearing you say there is hope, this is winnable, we do serve a God who can triumph light over darkness, gives me hope and all of us hope. And I just commend you on your efforts. She's somebody's daughter. That's a powerful concept for each of us to ponder. And I just thank you for joining us on Messenger Insight today.
It's been my pleasure, Brian. Thank you so much.
Blessings to you, Steve.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight. Brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.